Hello, everybody. Apropos of nothing, I always like to show you items before I throw them out. How about these Docksiders? Can I had it? You know, did me sterling service, but they're going to have to be binned, though. So there they are. So on to the topic. Right, Palestine and Israel. If you saw my previous video, you'll know that I'm over the moon. The Republic of Ireland, we have rightly recognized Palestine as a sovereign state. Because that's what part of Palestine is, deserves to be, and so on. And there was this utterly specious and vile accusation from the Israeli embassy saying this is somehow rewarding terrorism. No, Palestine's a nation because it is. It's not a province. What else is it? You can call it a country. It's recognized by well over 100 countries and so forth. It's a nation by any definition. Now, they're terrorists in every country. They're Israeli terrorists, they're Irish terrorists, which is not to say that none of these nations are not sovereign or something like that. This really is preposterous. They're white supremacist terrorists in the United States. That doesn't mean the USA isn't one of them. So it was actually the failure to recognize Palestine and treat it properly is what's caused this situation. So, most Palestinians are not members of Hamas, did not commit the 7th of October attacks and so on. So it's really neither here nor there. And it's not for Israel to determine Palestine's future. Palestinians have a right to decide what's going to happen in their country, to establish diplomatic relations with other countries. And how dare Israel try to dictate to us in the Republic of Ireland what our foreign policy ought to be. Now, Simon Harris, you may know I despise him. I deprecate him as an ignoramus, completely overpromoted, a total nincompoop, no rhetor and so on. But he's on the money on this one. Now, it may well be a cynical, cephalological calculation has led him to this move because he recognizes he doesn't want to be outflanked by people who are more vocal about Palestinian freedom. And that's why he's done this. It's a popular move. I mean, even I have to give him some plaudits for this one. But anyway, if we go back a little bit, then there were a lot of these false comparisons between the two countries. And he's an ignoramus. He's proved it again with the misinformation he's been pumping out, all these bogus comparisons. So I would say he's a falsifier of history, but I think he's brainy enough to really do that. The script was presumably handed to him. I don't think he's read the Chronicles. But because obviously the historical links between Ireland and Great Britain go back many centuries, because if you're comparing Ireland's situation to Palestine, impliedly, the United Kingdom or Great Britain is in the role of Israel, and it's not a comparable situation. But anyway, so Celtic languages were spoken in Great Britain for millennia, so far as we know. And lots of toponyms would suggest that, like Oxford. No, it's not from an ox fording the river. It's from Ossia, as in water in Celtic language, like Ishka in Irish. And there were polities which spanned the Irish Sea long before Strongbow. A lot of people think it was is it Richard Fitzgilbert de Clare? Is that his proper name? The Earl of Pembroke, the one who came over in 1169, he piled into this Irish civil war to take one side to restore the king of Leinster, Rory O'Connor, who'd been deposed because he'd cuckolded Breffni, the Prince of Breffni, what was his name? I can't remember now. O'Rourke ran off with his wife, was it Deirdre Gilla? Anyway, and then Henry II follows 2 years later, 1171, and says, you know, you can't be carving out this kingdom separately. You're my vassal, therefore proclaiming his suzerainty over Ireland. And obviously, our leaders of church and state by the Treaty of Windsor, first of all, recognized Henry II as the overlord of Ireland, and the Synod of Cashel, our episcopate, recognizing likewise that we were a dependency upon England. And Wales is a principality at that time. Ireland, our connections, our political connections to England go back much longer than Scotland's do, which not a lot of people seem to be cognizant of this. And more things. So our links with Great Britain and parts thereof go back a very long time. And sometimes there was a kingdom with its capital in Ireland, which controlled bits of Great Britain rather than the other way around. And obviously, we almost all came from Great Britain at some point. You know, we all come from the Rift Valley. We proceed fanwise from there. They say people get to Western Europe and in the last ice age cross from the continent to what's now Great Britain and thence to Ireland. So you might say, but these people came from France, Great Britain, therefore they're French. Well, I mean, the British are a bit French, actually, yes, which is maybe not the answer people were hoping for. So I wouldn't be against a confederation of the countries roughly around the North Sea or something, but the European Union, and I'm convinced you're a skeptic, it's just overexpanded. It's too wide. I mean, all nations are exclusionary. They all have to set some sort of geographical limit and perhaps temporal limit as well. Otherwise, it's not a nation, it's just the human race. So what else? Ireland, we're part of the United Kingdom because the Irish Parliament voted to be so. You know, Palestine is not part of Israel. The Israelis don't pretend it's part of Israel. I mean, they've annexed bits of it illegally, the illegally occupied settlements in the West Bank, that's most of it. And they used to illegally Gaza. And obviously some Palestinians say Israel shouldn't exist at all. It's all Palestine. It is the Zionist entity. So it's not that obviously in Ireland we had equal rights, and the Republic of Ireland to this day we're privileged in Great Britain, the only non-Commonwealth country where people can vote in the United Kingdom, can be elected to Parliament, and so on. Ireland, Scotland, and England, including Wales, work better as independent countries. The union has been a disaster. Well, I don't think it has. What, when the United Kingdom was the world superpower, that was not a disaster for the United Kingdom. That really is preposterous. Well, you look at the first half of the 19th century in Ireland when our population doubled. And that would suggest prosperity. Now, I know we had a crash in the 1840s, which is a natural disaster. So obviously, the United Kingdom was the leading science and technology country in the world in the 18th century and much of the 19th century. So I thought the partition of Ireland was a cataclysm brought upon us by the Republican movement. Now, the Republic of Ireland, we've lifted out of that in the last 30 years, become very, very prosperous. Various reasons, sensible corporation tax policy. Partly we spend like almost nothing on defense. We got loads of money for the European Union. We're sort of lucky with the demographics, but the demographic transition is going to make that a bit more challenging in time. We had the right amount of immigration, probably a bit too much now. Anyway, where was I? In Ireland, virtually all of us are partly Welsh, Scots, or English stock, or a melange of those. The so-called native Irish, not quite sure how far back we have to go, because before the 12th century AD, a lot of us were Danish. So even before that, before say the 9th century AD, there are various waves of immigration and or invasion from Great Britain. Now, I know Great Britain wasn't an entity. When did it become reified? Even Roman Britain, Britannia, was Wales, England, and the southern slice of Scotland. Right. But Irishman 727. But as I pointed out, the people before 1171, a lot of them come from Denmark or Great Britain in the previous few generations, which is not to say no one's Irish. We are. But we have to recognize that being Welsh, Scots, and English, that is part of our heritage as well, as our DNA, as our culture too. Another thing is the phenotype, we're just indistinguishable. It's not obvious what an Israeli is supposed to look like. There's Israelis who are totally black, there's Israelis who are totally white, and every shade in between, whereas they can usually be distinguished at a glance from Palestinians. So in Ireland, we are like we're Christian like Great Britain. Now, admittedly, there's significant non-Christian minorities because of 20th century Commonwealth immigration. And obviously in the Republic of Ireland, our Taoiseach, our previous one, was a Hindu. I remember Sir John Davies in the early 17th century was a Surveyor General of Ireland saying that if the population of Ireland were numbered by poll, the settlers from Great Britain would outnumber the autochthonous people. I'm not sure if that was true at the time, but it was an exaggeration. It wasn't much of a one. Look at the Union flag. We were represented on that with the cross of St. Patrick on it, which Wales is not because we're a kingdom, not a principality. So Irish people married into the House of Windsor, like Sophie Rees-Jones, and she's half Irish, Catholic Irish, because a lot of bigots out there say Protestants don't count, except when it's useful to say that they do. Israel is very different. It's a modern state, only founded in 1948. And okay, there was ancient Israel, but there was a hiatus of 1900 years. And the people who came to Israel in the 20th century were often not the descendants of those who'd fled. There's little or no proof those they were the descendants of those who fled almost 1,900 years beforehand. What else? So there were often European immigrants. Some of them had this white supremacist attitudes towards the Palestinians and indeed towards Jews from, let's say, Morocco or Iraq or wherever else. And the majority of Palestinians are actually outside Palestine even historic Palestine in Jordan. And in Ireland, that's not really the case. There are people of Irish descent who are scattered across the globe from Canada to Australia and so forth. But often they're only a small fraction Irish, and that's sometimes they're people who left centuries ago. Whereas the Palestinians is well in living memory when al-Nakba befell them, and the Israeli Defense Force drove them out of their homeland and dispossessed them. And indeed, Jews were appallingly treated in some of Araby, and they were driven out of places where they'd resided for millennia, like Algeria or Egypt and so forth. Israel, as we know it now, was created by the United Nations. The Republic of Ireland was not. So Palestine's in limbo, Republic of Ireland is not. So it wasn't recognized at all until 1921. So it's really a very different situation. And it's just unhelpful and ahistorical to pretend that they're the same. We're not comparing like with like. It leads to really a misunderstanding of the situation, and it's just not illuminating to do that. Some of these demagogues are past masters of the bogus comparison. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe to my channel and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. The six counties are not in limbo. They are an integral part of the United Kingdom. Now, it's possible they could one day choose to fuse with the Republic of Ireland. And for over a century, London's policy has been, should that transpire, then His Majesty's government will instantly facilitate that happening. But actually, a lot of the Republic of Ireland don't want the North. The Republic is thriving. This might really put the fly in the ointment and have to be subsidized, and people aren't willing to do it. Even nationalists, how much is United Ireland worth to nationalists? The SDLP pointed out it's like worth like 50 euros. I'm not paying to see the GP. Obviously, we could sort situations out in the Republic of Ireland. We don't have to pay to see the general practitioner because we're a very affluent country. So the United Kingdom, well, yeah, could have worked. And obviously, you know, obviously never should have been sectarian discrimination. But, you know, that was the 18th century. It's actually passed by the Irish Parliament. And yes, that was for the landlords. And OK, a lot of them were of recent English immigrant stock. The famine response, yes, indeed, was grossly inadequate. They saved some of us. And I would like to thank the people of Great Britain for saving my ancestors. Obviously, didn't save all of them, but they did something. Resistance to land reform. Here I'm a bit more dubious about. We could have that again. Always some people own a bit more than others, but they did get land reform. I mean, we did get land reform. Nowhere else got land reform in the world at that time. You know, people in Great Britain could have said that. Why are these aristocrats, mostly of Norman descent, landlording over the Anglo-Saxons in England, for example? Threats from Ulster. Yeah. I mean, I agree that home rule ought to have been granted, and then we might have been in a much better situation. Right. Thank you so much for your very lettered and thoughtful comments. Goodbye.